Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Brunswick. I'm an American living in Hong Kong. The title of my talk is Heat Transfer by QED. I'd like to start off with classical physics. Heat transfer proceeds by three modes. We all know this: conduction, radiation, and convection. And the proposal I'd like to make to you is the fourth mode is QED. And QED here will be quantum electrodynamics. However, this is a very simplified form of a complex light and matter interaction advanced by Feynman and others. Simplified version. At the nanoscale, the QED will convert the heat Q into EM radiation because QM precludes conservation by an increase in temperature. Here, EM will be electromagnetic and QM quantum mechanics. Now, if you put heat into a nanoscale quantum mechanical box, it goes into the surface. You all know this. And this will, in turn, will produce QED radiation, as I'll show you. Here I show a box, nanoscale now, dimension D. You put heat into a Q. What will happen is the energy will go into the surface, and that surface energy will create radiation, lambda over 2 equal to D. This will come clear to you as I go on. Here F is the frequency of the radiation created, the velocity of light C divided by the refractive index of this nanoscale box, divided by the wavelength. And I've just shown you that lambda over 2 will be equal to D. It's a standing wave. E here is the Planck energy of that radiation, which is Planck's constant H times the frequency F. And briefly on particles, if you start off with a particle greater than 1 micron, macro scale, and you put heat into it, you're going to get a temperature increase. You all know this. And the only way you can dissipate that heat is by natural convection. However, if you start off with a nanoparticle, less than 100 nanometers, heat comes in, there's no temperature increase. It's a brand new ball game. And that heat that goes in will be converted directly to QED radiation, and it comes on. So nanoparticles conserve heat by producing QED radiation. I'll be coming back to this general theme so it sinks in a little better. Nanocoatings, the same thing. Substrate heat, macrocoating, temperature increase, natural convection. You put on a nanocoating, again, it's a brand new ball game. The heat comes into the substrate, no temperature increase. QED radiation comes off. So nanocoatings will conserve the heat by producing QED radiation, and this will enhance the heat transfer. Theory, heat capacity atom, EM confinement, QED emission. Heat capacity atom. Here you see the Planck energy. I don't know if you can see that. You see the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts on the ordinate. On the abscissa, you see thermal wavelength in microns from 1 to 1,000, from the nano scale to the macro scale. And on the right, you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, 0.258 eV. Now the... Yeah, there it is. Ah, sorry. So, classical physics then, at room temperature, will be this line. It goes all the way across. By classical physics, the atom always has kT energy. This is true for molecular dynamics, any variations thereof, COMSOL, ANSYS, and the like. However, if you look at quantum mechanics, this now is the Planck law, it's over 100 years old, and if you plot this out at room temperature, 300 Kelvin, you get the Shell curve. And you can see down to maybe 100 microns or so, you're going to find classical physics and quantum mechanics give the same heat capacity for the atom. But below that, quantum mechanical heat capacity basically vanishes. And I think from this figure, you can kind of look at the history of heat transfer. In 1900, Planck derived the quantum mechanical relationship you see here. And in 1912, Debye came along and with his phonons, and he assumed H nu is equal to kT. And I think you can see from this plot that is valid, unequivocally valid for lambda greater than 100 microns. But the problem is today, phonons are used in nanostructures, which is way over here. The atom really has no heat capacity for phonons. In 1950, Teller and Metropolis came along, and you all know these people. They did an MD simulation, 2D, periodic boundary conditions. And, of course, with periodic boundary conditions, although you have a small box, the fact is you are looking at long wavelength response. And that, as you can see here, is greater than 100 microns. So, again, they were perfectly correct in doing that. However, today, discrete nanostructures, if you just look at a single box, a discrete box, MD is used. And it's not correct. So, but the question you have to ask yourself, how do nanostructures, nanoparticles, nanocoatings, inherently provide this high electromagnetic confinement? What do I mean? You have to confine the atom. You can see down here. How does that happen? Electromagnetic confinement. You all know that nanostructures have a high surface to volume ratio. Surface heat then places the atoms under high electromagnetic confinement. But quantum mechanics precludes any temperature increase. And QED comes along and conserves that trapped energy to EM radiation. Here again I start with a nanocoating. Here you see a body, nanocoating surroundings. Heat comes in, goes to the surface. But there's no temperature increase, so it stays there. But it has to be conserved. It produces QED radiation. As you can see, the half wavelength is equal to the thickness D. It's a standing wave. And of course, once you use up the energy on the surface to create the standing wave, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement. The radiation comes off. But some goes back. But it's converted to heat, and it comes through. So what this is saying is, although there's been a lot of talk on QED about being very efficient, that's only true in the visible. If you try to make a QED light in the UV, let's say, it's very, very difficult. And here you can see very easy with QED. LEDs, of course, are light-emitting diodes. The QED emission, what you see here is the QED radiation in microns, the EUV, UV, VIS, and IR. And on the abscissa, you have nanostructure thickness. D is equal to 1 nanometer. And I have apply this for lambda equal 2 ND, which follows from what I've already presented. And here you see the response for zinc oxide and yttrium. Yttrium is used in turbine blades. And you can see from this plot, you can compute what radiation is coming off. Applications. Now, in my paper, I have many applications. You have to look at my paper. And there's clearly no time for that today. So what I'm going to do here is pick a few of these, and you can go to my home page, which will have the updated version of this presentation. But basically, thin films, turbine blades, EUV lithography, shockwaves, high pressure chemistry, near field enhancement, superlens, water disinfection, cosmology by cosmic dust, exoplanets, and ISM infrared spectra. All these follow from the same physics that I'm presenting. Thin films. Cooling by QED radiation in thin films really began about 50 years ago, and the data showed the conductivity is reduced with the film thickness. So what this means, the QED radiation was not included in the heat balance. Here I show thermal conductivity on the ordinate, and on the ordinate I show the film thickness in nanometers. And you can see this K effective is what they measure. It drops off as the film thickness decreases. So they plotted it. However, if you take what they plotted and subtract it from the bulk conductivity, you get this curve. And it drops off. So the QED emission was really the difference. So the exclusion of QED radiation, you may say, well, what is it, were these people who knew what they were doing? Of course they did. The problem is, the radiation coming off was in the UV and beyond, and they didn't measure it. High pressure chemistry. Again, now the MD simulations show tens of thousands of atmospheres are produced in nanotubes, even if the ends are open to the atmosphere. So you have a nanotube, the ends open, you increase the pressure, you can go up to tens of thousands of atmospheres. That should bother you. This is the relationship. You can see right away, KT here that they assumed was out in the lambda greater than 100 micron region, finite. And you do that, you get a pressure effect. But by quantum mechanics, the atoms in the nanopores surfaces are under high electromagnetic confinement, and they have no heat capacity. Therefore, as KT goes to zero, I think you can see this equation shows you the pressure goes to zero as well. So the enhanced chemistry in nanotubes is caused by extreme ultraviolet radiation. This is what I mean. This is quantum mechanics, EUV coming out. And with statistical mechanics, SM, heat is coming, it produces high pressure. So I really think you have to reject the classical physics here. Near field enhancement. MIT recently claimed that bodies are separated by nanoscale gaps less than 100 nanometers. The amount of heat transmitted exceeds the blackbody limit by 100 to 1,000 times. What I mean, important thing here, is that the wavelength, lambda over 2, has to be equal to D. So the atoms and the surfaces have no heat capacity. However, quantum mechanics denies those atoms to have heat capacity to change in temperature and propagate thermally excited evanescent waves. Evanescent waves require thermal excitation, and there's none there perpendicular to the surface. So the near field enhancement based on evanescent waves to carry the heat across the nanosieve gap does not occur. And instead, QED will tunnel that heat across the gap, but does not enhance the heat transfer above the black body limit. I'm not sure I'll have time, but cosmology by cosmic dust. You all know in 1929, Hubble formulated the law based on Doppler's effect that the velocity of a galaxy is proportional to the distance to the Earth. However, cosmic dust, it comprises nanoparticles of silicates. It permeates space, and that dust is also proportional to the distance to the Earth. Okay? If galaxy life is redshift upon absorption, then the velocity measurements of the galaxies require correction. This is what I mean. Galaxy photon comes in, lambda, cosmic dust diameter d. It will redshift that to 2nd. And this is the zero. This is the formula for the redshift. So the Hubble, true Hubble value should be what they measure. And if you subtract off the z for the Lyman alpha photon and the hydrogen alpha photon. Now, Lyman alpha photons have very high energy. H alpha photons low energy. The Doppler effect, they should have the same redshift. So this should go to zero if you're measuring Hubble, but if you check the data, you'll find it isn't. So what this means, if the redshift in dust means the universe need not be expanding, and there's no dark matter or energy that they're looking for. Briefly, I don't know if I have time. No more time? Alright. Nanoparticle combustion. If you take carbon nanoparticles and put them in a molten aluminum bath in air, oxygen, and you cool to ambient, and you take SEM micrographs, what you see is this. Nanoparticles are in black, the aluminum in gray. You have to ask the question, do carbon nanoparticles combust at 600 degrees C? And they should have. And you repeat this for micron-sized carbon, what you find is there are no nanoparticles found in the SEM. Here, it suggests complete combustion. And tensile tests show that these nanoparticles enhance the properties of aluminum. So people have went off and postulated that carbon somehow enhances the aluminum bond. You don't see the carbon, but maybe it enhances the bond. But this was disproved by density functional theory. And the quantum mechanical interpretation then, as you can see, you know what I'm going to say, the nanoparticles do not have heat capacity. So the macrocarbon increases in temperature when you put it in, macroscopic, and as it combusts, it gets smaller and smaller. And after a while, it comes down to the size of a nanoparticle, but it's also at a high temperature, so it combusts. Basic line here, temperature changes do not occur in nanoparticles. And the conclusion, this is my email address and home page. Again, look on my home page, you'll see everything I've been talking about. Thank you very much.
So we talk about real quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics sits in an upper limit for that universe is specifically handled with the heat, photons, quantums, anions, electrons, or whatever. Okay? And this has been experimented with very fine. So I mean that's the picture I'm looking at.
No, what I'm assuming is the Planck law is valid. And if you can provide the electromagnetic confinement for the atom, there's no heat capacity. Pardon me?
Atoms have no heat capacity. Heat capacity is determined on electrons.
I know. You don't mention that in your theory, and that's what I was trying to get at when I was questioning you. That's right, but no matter what you do, if you start off with a larger box for your density functional theory, it still would have to be less than 1 micron, no matter what you do.
No.
Well,
not at all. It's completely valuable.
Well, I happen to disagree.
Exactly.
Well, thank you again.